Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And we are going to enjoy learning about Austria in these next couple of lessons. Now, I just have a quick question for you, Carolyn. If you could travel anywhere in Europe, where would you go?
Well, I've never been to Europe, so there are a lot of places I really want to go. But I think I want to go to Ireland the most, because that's where a lot of my family is from.
Interesting. That sounds like a cool place. I've never been there. Nathaniel, where would you like to visit in Europe?
Actually, if I could choose any place in the whole world to go, I would actually also go to Ireland. My family's also from that area, but if I were to choose some others, I think Italy is another one that I would really like to visit. Gabe, have you been to Europe before?
I have been to Europe, but I've been to Eastern Europe, Romania and Greece. I have never been to Western Europe. I would actually like to visit England and France and some other places there. Anyway, I think our author is going to try to sell us on Austria. Maybe give us a taste of Austria. Maybe make us want to travel there for ourselves. Let's get started with our first reading for today.
A Taste of Austria. Austria offers mountain fun for everyone. Tiny, landlocked Austria may not be big, but packed within its borders lie wonderful sights and experiences. Picturesque villages dot the slopes of the famous Alps. Exquisite palaces, fine castles, and fortresses invite visitors to wander through them and imagine days long past. Spending time in Vienna, Austria's elegant capital, is a pleasure. Magnificent St. Stephen's Cathedral rises up grandly in the heart of the city. Step through the large doors and admire the beautiful interior. Then climb the 343 steps of the South Tower for a bird's eye view of the city.
Hello, listeners. This is your Word Lady, Joanna. This month's travel article is all about a beautiful country in Europe that you'll definitely want to visit. But first, let's look at the key words for today. Picturesque. Picturesque is an adjective. Wendy spent a long time looking around the picturesque fishing village. Exquisite. Exquisite is an adjective. Helen looked at the exquisite necklace in the jewelry store window. Imposing. Imposing is an adjective. The imposing building was bigger than everything else around it. Amble. Amble is a verb. Frank can amble through the countryside for hours. Your more information words are landlocked. Landlocked is an adjective. Habsburg. Habsburg is a noun. Spanish riding school. Spanish riding school is a noun. Are you ready to learn more? Let's get started.
A Taste of Austria. Right in our title, we see a phrase that I want to talk about, a taste of something. And this is a good phrase to know if you want to get a little experience of something. Maybe you don't know the whole thing, but you are getting just a little experience. That is a taste of something. How else could you use this phrase, Carolyn?
Well, when I feel a little homesick, sometimes I really just need a taste of home. So maybe I'll make something that my mom used to make for me.
Okay, you can have a taste of home. Could you use this in another way, Nathaniel? A taste of something?
I was thinking that one lesson of Studio Classroom can give you a taste of English.
Ooh, good. Yes, of course, Studio Classroom can give you a taste of English. I think of a taste of heaven, maybe something really awesome here that can make you feel great. It's a taste of heaven. Well, we're going to get a taste of Austria these next 3 days. That's a big taste of Austria. We find here in the first sentence, tiny, landlocked Austria may not be big, but packed within its borders lie wonderful sights and experiences. We see that word landlocked. What does that mean, Carolyn, if some place is landlocked?
Well, if a place is landlocked, it means that it's not next to any water or an ocean. So my home state is landlocked because West Virginia is not on the coast.
No, it's not. Nor is Colorado. That's a landlocked state. Different places in the world are landlocked. Of course, if it's close to a lake or an ocean, especially a big lake, then we would not say those are landlocked. But what else is landlocked? Look at your globe and see if you can talk about other landlocked areas. We're finding out about Austria, and we see picturesque villages dot the slopes of the famous Alps. Right there is one of our word bank words, picturesque. This means it's worthy of a picture, or it just looks like a wonderful picture could be taken there. Nathaniel, what comes to your mind when you think of a picturesque place?
I think of a lot of cards that you might give your friends on their birthday or for a wedding anniversary. A lot of them have maybe a picture of the sea or beautiful city landscape. They're very picturesque looking.
They're picturesque. I think of places like Yosemite National Park or the Grand Canyon or Taroko Gorge. That's a very picturesque place. What's your favorite picturesque place, Carolyn?
Well, my favorite picturesque place is actually just a few hours away from Taipei. And it's right along the coast, and you look out over the ocean, and it's just beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is picturesque. Well, continuing on, exquisite palaces, fine castles, and fortresses invite visitors to wander through them and imagine days long past. We use another key word here. It's a big word, exquisite, and this means beautifully made or designed. What do you think of when you think of something exquisite?
I usually think of something that is very well crafted, so maybe a beautiful glass vase that has very exquisite paintings on it.
Okay, yeah, and those are usually pretty expensive too. What comes to your mind, Nathaniel?
Sometimes I think of an exquisite taste. You get a chance to eat something kind of unusual, and it's a new flavor, and you think it's really great. It tastes exquisite.
Exquisite. Well, continuing on, we're talking about imagining days long past. We see this phrase here, long past, or days long past. This just means we're talking about a time a long time ago. Days a long time ago, days long past. You could also use the word year, years long past. You can talk about things that happened a long time ago. Well, I think we should continue on. What is our next paragraph, Nathaniel?
Our next paragraph starts by saying, spending time in Vienna, Austria's elegant capital, is a pleasure. That's an interesting word there, elegant as well. How would you describe that word, Carolyn?
Well, elegant makes me think of something that's very fine, perhaps very classy, and usually I think of a woman dressing very elegantly, so she looks very beautiful.
Okay, very beautiful, fine, classy, elegant. The magnificent St. Stephen's Cathedral rises up grandly in the heart of the city. Step through the large doors and admire the beautiful interior, or the inside, then climb the 343 steps of the South Tower for a bird's eye view of the city. We see that phrase, bird's eye view. It's pretty easy to understand. What does this mean, Carolyn?
Well, it means that you can see as far as a bird can see. Hmm. So you must be up really high if it's 343 stairs.
That's right. You get a bird's eye view of the city. Well, right now it's time for us to do something a little different. We're going to go to the info cloud. Steve and Ken want to share with us about how you can use different words that mean the same thing and where you should go to find those words. Let's go and join Steve and Ken in the info cloud. Hey, guys.
Hey there.
Hey. Hey, Ken, I wonder if you noticed the author of our lesson today just used a handful of adjectives to describe the sights and experiences of Austria.
I sure did. These adjectives include some of the word bank words. I saw words like wonderful, exquisite, picturesque, elegant, magnificent, and beautiful.
Right. Each word is related. They're synonyms, but they give the reader just a little different feeling about Austria. Now, I bring this up as a reminder, especially to those of you who are interested in improving your English writing skills, the importance of using a thesaurus.
Good reminder. A thesaurus is a collection of words arranged according to meaning.
Yes, a thesaurus can help build your vocabulary. It can help you say exactly what you want to say. And it can make your writing more interesting to your readers.
Because when you communicate, you don't want to keep using the same words over and over. That's boring.
Yes. But be careful, friends. Since no two words have exactly the same meaning, no two words are perfectly interchangeable. So what I'm saying is, people who use a thesaurus just to make themselves sound smarter end up sounding not so smart. So readers will always know when you're not using your own voice.
在写英文作文的时候，老师常常会告诉我们不要一直重复使用相同的字，以避免单调。因此呢，我们可以借由一本 thesaurus 同义词典来找出不同的 synonyms 同义字，这样子呢就可以把许多单字替换着用。但是在选择使用哪一些字的时候呢，要注意，所谓的同义字其实在意义和用法上都有些微的差异，甚至不少人认为英文里头根本没有真正的同义字，每一个所谓的同义字都和其他的字有所差异。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Steve and Ken, thank you again. All right, now we're going to run over to the language lab. Let's go to the language lab to see what Michelle has for us today. Hey, Michelle.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 这篇文章的第一个重点，我们来看第一段的第二个句子。Picturesque villages dot the slopes of the famous Alps. 里面的 dot 的用法 ，dot 当名词是指圆或小点，但是在这里当动词，意思是指点缀或布满。注意它的过去式、过去分词或现在分词都要重复字尾的 t 加上 ed 或 ing。例如 ，the field is dotted with wild flowers. 这片草原上点缀着野花。接下来我们看的是 exquisite 这个形容词。exquisite 是指精美的、精致的或者是极度的。例如 ,Sally bought this exquisite antique vase at an auction. Sally 在拍卖会中买了这个很精致的古董花瓶。或者是 ,the designer's exquisite taste is undeniable. 这位设计师绝妙的品味毋庸置疑。
Well, we've gotten a little bit of a taste of Austria so far with the picturesque villages and the exquisite palaces and fine castles and many other things that we have yet to learn. Let's continue learning right now.
A Taste of Austria. No one can visit Vienna without stopping in at the Hofburg Palace.This imposing palace was the winter residence of the Habsburg rulers until 1918. Today, it's home to the Spanish Riding School and its dancing white horses, the Vienna Boys Choir, and the Austrian President's office. Visit the imperial apartments for a taste of a very royal lifestyle. Then make time to amble around Schönbrunn Palace, the summer residence of the imperial family. After that, take a break from royal life and visit a Vienna coffee house to enjoy some great coffee and delicious pastry.
I think stopping for some coffee and a pastry sounds like a wonderful idea. Now, if we continue on with reading the lesson now, it says, no one can visit Vienna without stopping in at the Hofburg Palace. This imposing palace was the winter residence of the Habsburg rulers until 1918. And here we see a key word, imposing. What can you think of when you think of imposing, Gabe?
Well, something imposing is like impressive, especially in size, something that maybe if you look up and you see it and you can't ignore it. It's just, it's imposing and it's really kind of cool to look at. Some buildings are imposing. When I went to visit Greece, I was in a train and the mountains beside the train were just imposing. I mean, they were just like way up there. It was incredible. So I think of like mountains or really tall buildings.
Right. So if something is imposing, then it's very large and kind of takes over an area. Well, now this imposing palace is home to the Spanish Riding School and its dancing white horses, the Vienna Boys Choir, and the Austrian President's office. So it sounds like they've made pretty good use of this very large, imposing palace.
That's right. The Hofburg Palace now has many uses, and I've heard of some of those things. I know the Vienna Boys Choir is a very, very top-notch boys choir. Actually, I think everyone around the world has heard of the Vienna Boys Choir. They travel many different places. I did not know that the Austrian president also lived in the Hofburg Palace. I should go and check this place out.
It sounds like a very interesting place to visit. And also the dancing white horses for the Spanish Riding School are quite beautiful and wonderful to watch. Moving on to the next sentence, we see, visit the imperial apartments for a taste of a very royal lifestyle. Now, this word imperial is kind of an interesting word. Nathaniel, what do you think of when you think of imperial?
I think what we should think of when we hear this word is emperor. When you hear imperial, like imperial apartments, you should think that these apartments belong to the emperor. It's probably where he lived, which is why there is a taste of a royal lifestyle there.
Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense then. Very nice. Well, moving on, then make time to amble around Schönbrunn Palace, the summer residence of the imperial family. Now, here we have a key word, amble, and it means to kind of walk around without really having any direction or specific place you want to go. Gabe, do you like to amble around Taipei?
Carolyn, I should amble more often. Usually I'm rushing from one place to another, but it would be nice to amble, just to walk leisurely from one place to another. I think of a lake or something like that, away from the city. I think of walking around a lake or something out in nature when I think of ambling. And if you're visiting someplace new, like these places in Austria, you want to take your time. Maybe you want to just amble from one place to another. Don't rush at all. Well, do you ever amble, Nathaniel?
I think a good place to amble is in a museum. There's lots of different things to see, and you can just go slowly from one thing to the other and take your time. Ambling is always a good thing to do in a museum.
That's right. And we see here a phrase, make time to amble. So that's kind of a good phrase to know, too. If you make time for something, or if you make time to do something, that means maybe it's not in your schedule originally, but you can make time to do it. Maybe some of you need to make more time for something in your life. What can you maybe make some more time for, Carolyn? What do you need to make time for?
Well, I would really like to make more time for studying another language. I think learning languages is a lot of fun, but I really don't have as much time as I'd like.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I could always make more time for something. What do you need to make more time for, Nathaniel?
I think it's good to make sure that you have time to make time for rest. You need a certain amount of sleep every night, and you don't want to be running around all day. Always make sure that there's a little downtime scheduled in your day.
Okay, so if you visit Austria, make time to amble around Schönbrunn Palace. We move on. After that, take a break from royal life and visit a Vienna coffee house to enjoy some great coffee and a delicious pastry. Would you two like to enjoy a delicious pastry with me?
You know, that sounds like a really great idea, Gabe, but right now I really want to watch a review skit.
Oh, well, great. Then let's take a break from teaching and watch a review skit.
The travel brochure is right. Austria is wonderful.
Yes, Austria may not be big, but packed within its borders lie wonderful sights and experiences.
It's true. We've seen picturesque villages that dot the slopes of the famous Alps.
And we've wandered through exquisite palaces and fortresses, imagining days long past.
St. Stephen's Cathedral is magnificent.
I especially liked climbing the South Tower. You get a bird's eye view of the city.
Yes. Oh, I'm glad we stopped at the Hofburg Palace. Imposing, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It was the winter residence of the rulers until 1918.
But today, it's home to the Spanish riding school. Remember those white horses?
It's also home to the Vienna Boys Choir. La, la, la.
And don't forget the president. His office is there, too.
What did you think about the imperial apartments?
Oh, a taste of royal lifestyle. I'm so glad we took time to amble around the palace.
And now, let's take a break from royal life.
Yeah, I'm ready to enjoy delicious pastry.
And some good coffee.
Yeah, the brochure is right. Austria is wonderful.
I just love those review skits. And now for something completely different. Michelle in the language lab. Here we go.
Okay, 接下来我们看的是 imposing 这个形容词。 Imposing 是指雄伟的、壮观的，或者是令人印象深刻的。例如，The imposing view of the canyon really touched me. 峡谷的壮观景色让我非常感动。或者是，The family lives in an imposing mansion. 这个家庭住在一栋气势雄伟的豪宅中。最后，我们看的是amble 这个动词。Amble 是指从容漫步或者是很悠闲的走。例如，Grandpa and Grandma love to amble around their neighborhood. 爷爷奶奶很喜欢在家附近悠闲的散步。因为 amble 是一个不及物动词，所以注意后面要加上介系词才能加受词。例如 we ambled along the creek， 我们沿着小溪漫步。And that's it for today's language lab.
We've talked about two great places that you can visit in Austria this week: the Hofburg Palace and St. Stephen's Cathedral. They both sound great, but which would you two most like to visit?
Well, I think that the cathedral sounds really nice, but the Hofburg Palace has so much going on with the horses and the Vienna Boys Choir and even the president's office. I think it sounds like a really great place to visit.
I'm with you, Carolyn. I think I'd rather visit the Hofburg Palace. What about you, Nathaniel? Would you also prefer the Hofburg Palace?
Actually, I think I'll be going alone to the cathedral. If you go to the cathedral at the right time, you might hear some great music if you go during a service. And I'd love to see that bird's eye view of the city from 343 steps up into the air in the South Tower. How about you? Where would you like to go? Well, you can think about that, and we'll talk about Austria more next time on our next lesson at Studio Classroom. Until then, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. taken off you?
Why? What have I done, Auntie?
You've done enough. I go over to see Mrs. Harper, and I expect to make her believe all that stuff about your dream. But she had found out from Joe that you were here that night and heard all our talk. How could you come here all the way from Jackson's Island to laugh at our troubles? You never thought about having pity for us and saving us from sorrow.
Auntie, I know now it was wrong, but I didn't come here to laugh at you that night.
What did you come for, then?
It was to tell you not to worry about us, because we weren't drowned.
Then why? Oh, why didn't you do it, Tom?
Well, you see, Auntie, when you talked about the church service, I just got full of the idea of the church service for us, and of coming to the service for a surprise. It seemed such a good idea that I just put the letter back in my pocket and kept mum.
What letter?
The piece of sycamore bark. I had put on it, "We aren't dead, we've only gone to be pirates," in chalk. I wish you'd woken up when I kissed you.
The aunt's face became more gentle.
Did you kiss me, Tom?
Yes, Auntie.
Well, kiss me again and hurry away to school.
As soon as he had gone, she ran to a cupboard and got out the hard-worn jacket that he had used for his pirating adventure. Then she stopped with the jacket in her hand and said to herself,
"No, I daren't. Poor boy, he's probably told me a lie, and it's a very comforting lie. But I don't want to know it's a lie. I won't look."
She put the jacket away. Twice she put out her hand to take it again and stopped. At last, she did put her hand in the jacket pocket. And a moment later, she was reading Tom's piece of bark with tears pouring down her face.
"I could forgive the boy now if he'd been mad a million times."